Welcome back, everybody. I'm Usually Dave, and this is Super Reviews, the digital soup production, where once a month we take a deeper dive into something we want to look a little closer at. I'm joined, as always, by my good friends and co-hosts, Jason and Adam. How are we doing tonight, guys?
Fantastic. How about yourself?
Doing good, doing good. So this week we've got...
How about Jason?
Yeah, Jason's just not answering.
Later, Gators.
Jason's a soundboard tonight.
Yeah, he's going to soundboard himself.
That would actually be pretty funny. Hello, everybody.
Yeah, we have Jason. This was your pick. We've got a movie called Hardcore Henry that we're going to talk about. Quick synopsis, basically. True story of redemption, really. I mean...
It's really a coming of age movie.
Yeah, it's really a fascinating tale on what happens to a guy when life changes like that. Mm-hmm. And you know, we've got a guy resurrected from death, no memory, saving his wife from a telekinetic warlord with a plan to bioengineer soldiers. But that part, Adam, before we get into this, I mean, I found it kind of weird that they use this juxtaposition between like a lawyer and, you know, the coma and all of that. You remember,
right?
Didn't that seem kind of weird to you?
Yeah, it wasn't what I expected, because it just went into this. He went from being just this hardcore dude into like a true family guy after he kind of had to go through his physical therapy and everything.
Yeah.
Of course, Hardcore Henry, starring Harrison Ford and Annette Bening.
Right.
This was made back in 1991. And it's really, it's a touching story, I got to be honest. I think as we kind of get into it, we'll go a little bit more into depth.
And they did have that crazy twist at the end, you know, being an M. Night Shyamalan movie. He always has to throw that in.
Well, M. Night Shyamalan?
I didn't think there was a crazy twist.
Yeah.
I mean, the twist was that the guy was kind of a jerk to start, but then...
Well, he was dead. Yeah. He was dead. You didn't know that.
I mean, he gets shot in the head and then goes from this hardcore lawyer to a real, almost childlike, this mm-hmm. family guy. Only thing
and
is,
he
I
has
didn't
to
like...
relearn his speech and mobility and everything. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And you know, the thing that I didn't like, even though I get where they were coming at from this with this movie, but it was kind of like they used him as a punchline. Like, I don't know. We'll get into more of that as we go on through the movie. So, yep. Jason, why don't you really bring us into the movie we're talking about this week regarding Henry, and we will mm-hmm. kind of take it from there.
It actually starts out as Briss. What happens?
What? Did you watch the same movie as us?
Yes.
Regarding Henry.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Well, it starts out in his Briss, and then at the end, he actually drowns his wife underneath the dock.
Yeah, I remember that scene.
I don't know what you're talking about right now.
That was the movie where Harrison Ford actually killed somebody. He was like a bad guy in it.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember what the name
of that movie was. But that wasn't in regarding Henry.
No.
All right, so what Dave's getting at here is that he does not understand movies in the least. He doesn't understand titles. He doesn't understand premises. He probably watched this on VHS for all we know.
Hey, that's just what lies beneath.
There you go. I knew you'd figure it out. No, it's not regarding Henry. This is Hardcore Henry, as he did say the first time.
We let this joke go for a long time, too.
Well, I know. I was playing with it for a while, and now all the listeners are like, do these guys even know what they're talking about?
That is right. That's right. We had Adam and I called Adam a little bit
earlier. I figured you did, but I'm not going to let you do that to me anymore.
And I said, Adam, I think it's about time we've got to kind of bust Jason's chops a little bit. So what can we do, you know, kind of akin to our old unheard, never to be heard.
The F-bomb series, yeah, I call
profanity-laden intro that Adam and I surprised Jason with at one point, and we thought, we got to mess with him, and Adam had a great idea. Let's act like we just watched the wrong movie, and we'll go with Regarding Henry instead of Hardcore Henry.
Well, here's the interesting thing. They're both about a guy that like has no memory, and he's getting put back together, and that's eerily similar. This is just the reboot of Regarding Henry.
All right. Yes. So Hardcore Henry. Jason, I know I mentioned it earlier. We follow Henry, who is resurrected from death with no memory, must save his wife from a telekinetic warlord with a plan to bioengineer soldiers. We don't know anything more than that. This movie just starts. So why don't you kind of lead us into this? This was your pick. So bring us through this a little bit.
All right. Well, first I need to ask you two, did either of you go and cheat and take a look at a trailer before you watched it?
No.
So you did. You went in cold.
Yep.
Unfortunately, I didn't. The whole reason why I watched this movie originally was because I saw the trailer. I saw the premise. I saw the way they were filming it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I really have to see this. So for anybody who hasn't seen this movie yet, this movie is filmed 100% from the first person perspective. So any gamer out there will tell you that this really feels like a game. And that's the thing you take away from it. This movie is it feels every single scene feels like it's a game. Right. The way like Half-Life and like BioShock, etc., way those first person shooters tell a story, it seemed like the exact same way. And it was pretty cool. Now, I have to preface this, if people are going in and they're like, hey, let's go watch Hardcore Henry, and you know, they know nothing about it and they're a little bit squeamish, they're not gonna want to watch this because this movie is very, very bloody. Very, very violent.
Well,
even the intro where the credits are still going, that is some pretty graphic areas there.
Right. The intro, I was going to say, the intro alone, I was like, holy cow, what am I in for here? But I have to say, I didn't watch any trailers, but there's one scene in the movie, and this, remember I said there was something I vaguely remembered about seeing something about this movie. Didn't know anything about it, though. And it's a scene later on we'll get to, when he's on the motorcycles and they're blowing up stuff as they're on these motorcycles and all this stuff. And he jumps up onto this thing and they toss him a grenade and he throws it down and then jumps out. I remember that scene in the trailer, right. But I didn't know anything about the movie, but our good friend of the show. No, I didn't, but I remember seeing it when it first was promoed way back whenever this came out.
You didn't watch it before watching.
No, and I couldn't remember anything other than just vaguely this scene of a guy up on top of something, looking down at a person riding a motorcycle that tossed him up a grenade or something and threw it, and I didn't know anything other than that. But our good friend of the show, Mac, from over at Shutter Time, he had told me, you know, when you watch this movie, it's a fun movie, but make sure you've got a barf bucket handy.
Yeah, it's that constant first-person perspective. You hit the nail on the head. It is like a game. And actually, it kind of... It took me several different sessions to watch this movie, but I made it through. And
I
got to
watch it in installments, please.
Yeah, on my phone from a distance while holding my tummy.
It's so much more funny since we know you just, you know, listeners know you just got out of the hospital for a surgery on your tummy.
It would be interesting to watch this again while holding like an Xbox controller.
Yeah.
And just pretending that you're playing.
Yeah, not plugged in. You're just sitting there, why is
like you do. That's what you do for your kids when they want to play. You're like, here's the controller.
That's what Adam and I do to our kids. I thought, Adam, what you were going to go with, Jason. I thought he was going to say, it'd be interesting to watch it when he's not hopped up on pain pills from his surgery.
Yes. No, that made it
even
better.
I got 12 oxys in my system right now. Let's watch this movie.
But who's counting?
Yeah. So,
nice pun.
Thank you.
This movie starts out, though, and like we said, it's like you drop in, and when you say it's like a video game, that's a perfect way to describe this movie. It's how I felt the whole way through. The only thing is, it feels like you started in like the second board of, you know, you just jumped into this game and you're like, what the heck's going on?
Yeah, here's a question. What's this about?
Right, because the intro titles, while being graphic and kind of, they're actually, I mean, for as bloody and violent as they are, beautifully done. And I'm like, okay, this is interesting. Yeah.
Like, you know, slow motion, you know, projectiles piercing skin.
Right.
It is. It's a work of art. You know, as Dave said,
it's violent and disturbing violence for the sake of violence, but beautifully composited and shot from that. The intro point that quickly goes away when you start getting into the actual movie and you realize none of those beautiful slow motion things and nice camera panning techniques. You're not going to see any of that in this movie. It is straight first person, which is fascinating. Yep. It's an interesting
GoPro
concept.
Helmet cam.
Yeah. Yep. And I mean, we start out, though, Jason, like the description says, this guy's waking up, he's getting an arm attached, he's getting a leg screwed on, and he's got his wife there saying, oh, you know, oh my gosh, I'm working on you, you're not a big fan of my work, whatever she says. And she's walking him through basically fixing him. Mm-hmm. We know he's been nearly dead somehow. We don't know how. We don't know who he is, where he came from, other than that his name is Henry. So, you know, this is a movie where I struggle. I don't know where to quite go from there because it really is just a crazy action joyride. Mm-hmm.
Well, what you said there is exactly, you know, the perfect place to start. You know, that's the very first scene that you do see past the intro is a body. Seeing it from the perspective of a person laying down, looking down at their body laying prone with their left arm is gone. Their left leg is gone underneath the knee. And there's a beautiful woman standing here saying, you know, calling your name, Henry, Henry. And you find out that she is your wife. She puts
your
on
Harrison
her arm.
Ford.
Yes, your Harrison Ford. puts on an arm, puts on a leg, puts your ring on you, your wedding ring, and, you know, talks to you a little bit. And, you know, she gets you up and you meet a couple of other people in the next room who are helping you get it all set up because you find out that you are just as much machine as you are human at this point.
If not more machine.
Yeah, if not. Yeah, I mean, you still don't know what's going on, yeah. But this is where it just starts then. Within the first, I'd say 7 minutes is where it really kicks into gear because all of a sudden alarms go off. The door blows off of the room that they're in and actually squashes one of the doctors that were in there.
Right.
And in comes a couple of armed guys and then in walks this this freakishly thin, blonde, you know, white-haired, I would say, dude with some creepy, messed up eyes. Yeah. I mean, this guy is freaky. And you find out in this very first scene that he has telekinetic powers.
Yeah.
They never explain this.
No, and you glossed over the one of the more humorous parts of the whole movie, though.
Oh, you saw as humorous?
There
for a little
was a
bit,
part,
I think you did.
Right, yeah, true. Right before they bust in and all the action kicks off, they're going to program in and give him his voice back.
Oh, yeah,
and they're like, what do you want as a voice? And they've got, they had some excellent pulls from other movies in here where they were going to give him the Darth Vader voice and, you know, a couple other funny ones, iconic voices from different cinema, you know, films and movies. But then everything blows up and the guy gets no voice because he's mute the whole movie, which adds an element of mystery to it.
That was a good call. That was an important part that I did gloss over there. He did not get his voice, so you never hear Henry's voice throughout this entire movie.
Although
you basically just see some nodding and shaking the head back and forth.
But was it just me, or are there parts later on in the movie when there's some real heavy-hitting action happening where you hear some grunts and stuff almost like it's him?
Maybe.
I don't know. I thought that was kind of weird. Like, oh, that's weird, but
probably just save on production. Like, oh, we don't have enough money to pay for a sound guy now to dub voices. Let's or his actual voice sound like Kermit.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, now, hey, you get your hands off her. Yeah. Hi ho.
Now there is so much action and so many different scenes filled with action that we could never cover all of this in a 12-hour episode of Super Reviews. So we're going to probably...
the movie was only 2 hours.
But... yeah. Well, but to talk about it.
Yeah, I know.
I just want to hit a couple of really awesome parts thought, and then we'll go on to you guys. The very first part is where they're at in these very first scenes. They're in some type of floating... It really reminded me of Bioshock Infinite, where all the worlds are floating, all these floating cities. They have to use an escape pod to get out of here because to get away from this, what is his name here? Akon. Yeah, they have to get rid of the telekinetic dude, Acorn.
Isn't that a rapper?
Yeah.
Akon.
And so I wanted to mention that aspect was really cool. But I have to say, this is named after Hardcore Henry. I mean, this is named after Henry, you know, the whole movie and stuff. But the person that makes this freaking movie is Jimmy.
Yeah.
Jimmy is amazing. You meet several guys and you're like, you know, they get killed and stuff. And then you're thinking, wait a second. That guy looks like the guy that just died.
He shows up in the weirdest ways.
It was confusing until they got to the point where he's like avataring himself all over the place. So.
Right.
Yeah, he's a quadriplegic. You find out later in the movie that Akon put him in that state because he wasn't making his soldiers fast enough or something like that. The soldiers, and that's the whole thing with this whole wife thing. I know we're jumping all over the place, but when they just created these super soldiers without any type of thing to ground them, I guess is what they were saying, to hold them into this reality mentally, they were just like attacking anything, falling over each other and stuff. But they found that
rage,
they found that if they give them a goal, something to do, like say save their wife from Akon,
solve a Rubik's cube or knitting,
that, you know, that's the whole premise. I mean, should we jump ahead and tell everybody that what's her name? And what is her name? Estelle is not really Henry's wife. Should we tell people that?
No, Estelle is not really having Henry's wife.
Okay.
Yeah. No, let's save that for the end.
Okay. Forget what we just said. let's jump into that. We do find out that there's been many, quote, Henry unquotes, all by different names. And they have this montage scene where she's talking to Henry, Bob, Steve, Michael, Akon Jr.
That's a good point, though, and I wanted to ask you guys about this because this is something that really wasn't clear to me. They insinuate through the whole movie that Henry is really something special. You know, he is like the pinnacle of whatever they've been trying to do. Mm. And the whole movie, he's getting his butt kicked, really, but you see him start to all of a sudden, he's a survivor, and he starts to pick up these skills and get better and better at this different stuff. And, it, you know, with Jimmy's help and with all this other stuff going on. And then we get that montage at the end, towards the end, like you're talking about, where you see they've done this many times, and, oh, this will work great. Let them all think your wife is, you know, screwing on your leg at the kneecap, and, you know, you need to save her, and this whole scenario has just been a lie. But they never, the soldiers that he's battling through this whole thing when they release the super soldiers, mm-hmm. those, they're not really saying those are the same as him. It's almost like he was this prototype.
How did he dominate all them, all the other, that was one of my things watching.
Yeah.
Like, well, they're all supposed to be kind of similar with mm-hmm. all the same screw-on appendages, and he's just wailing on them.
Right.
Well, I don't think all the normal soldiers are the same as him, are they?
No, but towards the end in that massive rooftop battle when they're all, you know, it ends up on
kind
a
of
rooftop.
The Neo fight.
Exactly. The ones that are all in the white, you know, insane asylum suits.
White beaters.
Yeah, they're all like him supposedly, but there's something tied to Jimmy and him.
Catheter.
helicopter baseball. No, but there's some connection there where I think they're insinuating that he's got a little more of a humanity element to him than these mindless soldiers, and something is different about his programming, so to speak, or whatever you want to call it. And I couldn't quite put my finger on what that was, but it is, like you say, they discovered this trick to, you know, give them that emotional ground for something to fight for, you know. And it's, mm-hmm. you know, when you think about it, really a simple trope, I guess, in a lot of action films that, you know, we're going to, the hero's going to go save his family kind of a thing. But it gets pretty dark in a hurry. Like, he changes his mind on that towards the end in a hurry.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk about some of these action scenes, some of the fight scenes?
Yeah.
Like Dave just mentioned, he or Adam, I still don't know you guys' voices. I got to say that every episode. I'm not sure.
We don't either.
Yeah. He's not the greatest fighter in the world. He does, as one of you two said, does get his butt kicked a lot, but he can sustain a lot of damage.
Right.
And
until he gets the power up.
Yep. He does. Well, and his power up is those adrenaline shots right in the thighs.
Mm-hmm. Well, and not only that, but earlier on, he goes and kills a guy to rip out his heart and get his power supply to bring it to Jimmy, one of the Jimmys, so they can put it in. And then that Jimmy gets killed. And then there's a point during that battle, he rips open one of these other guys' chests, grabs what looks like a giant battery, essentially, mm-hmm. showing full bars, and he rips open his own, looks down, rips open his own chest, and shoves it in, and bzzzt, full power again.
Yep. Yeah, he literally. And I want to know what Adam thought about that scene, because it literally, he ripped it open, and like three pieces, flaps folded.
I'm not a fan of this style gore, but all I was thinking was discount Iron Man. Like, yeah. You went to the Family Dollar and got Iron Man. Right. He's got a couple of robotic appendages and then a power source.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's such a crazy. I mean, I sat here after watching it. Adam, I was different than you. I watched it in one sitting and I could not take my eyes off this movie because I was just staring at it like, what am I watching?
Yeah.
Where is this going? Explain that. What's happening here? What's the deal with this guy? You know, all this stuff. And it just never stopped. It was unrelenting. Yeah,
it was constant. Now, this is very different from any other movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And so there's, you know, it's not all, I don't strongly dislike this movie or anything like that because of some of it was captivating because some of these action sequences, I was thinking, how in the world did they do this all in one shot? You know, right. in some cases, I'm sure there was some very fancy cutting and editing mm-hmm. and stuff, but the choreography to do it from the first person perspective and still have it look good had to be super challenging. So I had to give them extreme props for that. It was almost like junk food where it's you're getting all of one thing, which is just right. like straight up phenomenal action. But then so much of the other stuff was unexplained. Like the protagonist of the movie, Hardcore Henry, doesn't even have a line.
Right.
You know, that was a challenge for him. And, you know, trying to make it so there's relatable characters and you understand what's going on in the story was pretty tough. But it was also on the flip side of it, I think about the second half, I really started to get into it.
Yeah.
You know, as far as with the action really picking up and just more constant, like, okay, well, he's got a goal.
Yeah, I think it's down to Jimmy again. Like Jason said, that Jimmy is the one that carries this story. And once you start finding out more about him, and you know why is this guy or guys or whatever it is, you're trying to figure out what's going on there, mm-hmm. how this guy keeps dying and then showing up, and then you realize the big reveal that, you know, he's actually, you know, cloned himself numerous different times. And then there's that scene when they're singing this weird song. Yeah. He's like, you don't even want to know what we're doing here alone when no one's around. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, where is this going to go now? You know,
yeah,
and
I thought there was going to be like some, I touched myself with myself.
I thought there was going to be female clones or something coming. I'm like, oh man, where
when
is this going?
When I think about myself, I touch myself.
Yeah. Instead, it's all like singing and dancing and they've all got different, you know, mannerisms and accents. He took all these different parts of his own personality and things he wishes he was.
And you
like.
Really got to give that up to the actor. Yeah. You pronounce it, I guess it's like Charlotte Copley. How do you pronounce that first name?
Charlotte, isn't it?
Charlotte? I mean, he literally, he had what?
No, Charlotte. Charlotte? I just sharded low.
He literally had a half dozen characters though that were all fleshed out. I mean, they were pretty good. I liked them.
Who was your favorite Jimmy?
Who my favorite Jimmy would probably be the French commander guy.
Yep.
At the end.
Not the punk rock Jimmy, but
yeah, Punk Rock Jimmy was pretty good. Yeah.
I thought the hippie was pretty funny.
Oh yeah, yeah. The hippie was the dumbest one though.
Yeah.
Has to
quadriplegic
be.
Jimmy.
No, he's awesome. No, the one that was in the full camo gear,
ghillie
whatever.
Suit, oh, the ghillie suit.
And he's walking around buildings in this camo. I mean, it's like, well, I think we can see you.
Now, this is the same guy that was like the lead of District 9, if you remember that movie too. So
okay,
I only seen that movie once. It's been a long time.
Yeah, I gotta rewatch that one again.
Hey, before we go any farther, we should probably let people know that this will be a spoiler-filled episode.
Yeah, just
I gave
thanks
up
for bringing
on
that
it.
Up.
I thought about it earlier right off the bat, and I thought, you know what?
By now, people should know.
Yeah. It's a movie review.
If
they should
you
know.
You don't know this by now, we will spoil everything. That was bad.
You know, I'll be honest. As I watched it, I was thinking, you know, like you said, first-person video game. Yeah. At the end of the movie, I thought, why the heck isn't this a game?
Yes.
Because every single scene in there was like the next board, the next level. There's bosses, there's the whole nine yards,
and there are clear delineations yeah. on like the levels exactly.
Yep. It was in that sense, I mean, this would be an awesome game.
And thinking right? about that boss fight at the end, I mean, with Akon and 1,000 clones and yep. and you're starting to get the best of somebody, and all of a sudden Akon has to throw you with his telekinetic powers.
Yeah, but Troy Aikman throwing me.
Think about that scene, you know, exactly right there. I'm convinced this was made by someone. Their intent had to be to make this feel as much like a video game as possible, because he's making all this stuff levitate around him. And what was it? Oh, it was dead bodies up in the air all over. In our hero, Henry, if you want to call him a hero, he figures out that he can actually jump from platform to platform on the bodies and make his way up to land a few more blows before getting thrown back. It is literally a live action video game. That's really what this thing has to be. I mean, it can't be just a coincidence.
It should become one.
Well, here's I'm on Wiki, which everybody knows you need to believe everything that's on Wiki because it's 100%
true. It's true.
But it says that the concept for this film came from the Bad Mother Trucker, and I edited that, and the Stampede music videos, which Nice Hooler made with Valiv for the band Biting Elbows.
So Nice Hooler is the director, Ilya Nice Hooler.
Yeah, I can't pronounce those. So thank you for pronouncing it for me.
I don't think I pronounced it right either. But.
And Adam, you are 100% correct. They were also shot with a GoPro. This movie, it does say, shot completely on a GoPro.
Yeah, nice. It has to be.
Hey, we should do our own movie, guys. GoPros. Yeah.
It's Dave's at the bank.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
You're right. Just seeing my hands in front of me as they...
Yeah. This guy's filling out forms like a mother.
Yeah, I go through endless mountains of paperwork and typing.
Now, here's another thing that it says here on the wiki. It says both the writer-director, Alia Nice Hooler, however you pronounced it.
Nice Hooler? No,
yep.
I don't think that's right.
And Charlton Copley, who is Jimmy, said in an interview to Tech Radar that they will be making a sequel. They don't know when. It says it may be 3 years, it may be 2 years, it may be 6 months. They just don't know. And since this came out in 2015, we've already hit the 3 years. So
yeah,
I want the game because this would be a cool game.
Let's talk about effects in here, though. You mentioned it's filmed on a GoPro. Effects, like movie special effects.
Rex is an effect, is in the effect.
Yeah, Dave didn't get it. Sorry. He's not into music.
No, I hate it.
He doesn't even know how to keep a basic beat.
I know, I can't.
You want to check baby 1, 2, 3, 4. Check baby 1, 2, 3. Check baby 1, 2. 2. Check. It's called the rump shaker.
Oh, I see what you did there. You were counting backwards and omitting one number in a sequence.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like some kind of pattern.
Yeah, absolutely. My accounting side of me is analyzing those number patterns. I find it fascinating, quite frankly.
Oh, I agree 100%.
No, but the special effects shot on a GoPro. Okay, that's novel. That's cool. It's so shaky. You know, and that's one thing I struggled with is that as much as it felt like a video game, if I was playing a game that was as shaky and jumping around crazy as that, I would throw my controller through my TV screen.
Oh, it would have been a total crisscross situation.
Now, the other effect, did you guys catch...
Jason, did you get that one?
Yes.
A couple times they did this effect where like blood splatter and stuff went on his...
Camera, essentially, and he wiped it out
through the camera.
On his camera.
Essentially, that's what it is, and he wipes his eyes to get it off. And I'm like, wow, that's kind of a cool little touch, you know. At first, as I'm watching, I'm like, this is cool, you know, kind of a neat little small detail you wouldn't think of. And then I thought, you know, that is absolutely ridiculous. How often have you had stuff splashed in your eyes like that you've wiped off like it's a camera lens, eyes wide open, just I mean, we don't wipe our eyes like that.
I do. I usually use a squeegee.
Oh, yeah. I think you're onto something because it really should have been like eyelids closing. But then again, they're not having them blink through the whole movie. So
right, this guy must have the driest eyes ever.
Yeah, this guy needs some clear eyes.
Clarity by
Yeah, get the Visine, dude.
The effect they did though, where they'd have that one eye, his right eye. Occasionally would get popped out of place.
And I love that.
It was kind of a second GoPro where they spun it slightly. And that was kind of this weird double vision effect. I thought that was pretty unique because they implied that essentially his left eye was maybe a real human eye. And the right eye was the one that gets detached, which we see in that final boss battle as he uses the cable. He pulls out his own eye, wraps it around the head of Akon, through his mouth, and essentially just tightens it to the point where it cuts the guy's head in half right at his
nose. That's what that was. Okay. Yeah, well, then it would make sense why he was wiping
it. And then he stuffed his own eye back in his head and turned it, and he was good to go.
Oh, why wouldn't you?
Now, here's a question, not a question, but an observation I made here, and then a question, I guess, for you. Now, we forgot to mention that his father, when he was a kid, you see some flashbacks, and it's actually Tim Roth, which he's right. like the biggest star in this movie. It was pretty cool.
Right.
But at the very end where Akon gets the best of him and he's actually laying face down and you think he's basically dead, and this is the first time you see his actual face, his reflection in... reflecting in something. I don't know what it was, piece of glass or, yeah, or something. And I almost thought that that was Tim Roth. And I thought that, what are they doing here? They're saying that this was actually Tim Roth him. Did you guys think that that looked like Tim Roth? It was bloody and beat up, so it was kind of hard to tell.
I thought it did too.
No.
But I wasn't sure. But
I thought it looked like Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool. I'm not kidding. Like, it kind of just reminded me of that. But
he didn't look like a wrinkled nutsack.
go Google the screenshot.
Go Google the screen. You go Google those.
Well,
Google.
This is the question, because we know Tim Roth is Henry's father. I mean, he does get these flashbacks in his memory. You know, I'm not going to repeat what he says, but you see this first person view, and these kids are bullying him and whatever, and his Tim Roth basically tells him in the one flashback, "You are such a wimp." Let's just say,
A kitty cat.
Yeah, and then he's like, he basically, you see that clip a number of times, once or twice through the movie, and at the end it goes further, like he remembers more, and he gives him a speech about, people like that are always going to be there and blah, blah, blah. When he's laying there face down and you see the first time you see our main character's face, and he said, you can either, how did it go? Something along the lines of, you can either curl up and die or you can stand up and drink their blood or something like that weird,
Spit the blood out of your mouth.
Something like that. Oh yeah. You can swallow their blood or you can stand up and spit it out, blah, blah, blah. And so that's when he kind of gets his final boost and he kills Akon. But earlier on, when he was trying to rescue Jimmy from his base, Jimmy says, he tells him before he dies, look, there's something, I wasn't gonna do this, and you have a block in your memory so you can't remember things, but I removed it now because once I realized who you were and what you were to me, I realized that I had to give you that back. And that's where they kind of imply that Jimmy is somehow related. But I don't know how or what.
Yeah, that's because they don't explain it.
Yeah.
At all.
No.
Which is one of the biggest problems I had with the movie, was just kind of the lack of... They just start sending... They send you on the roller coaster, and then the ride's over.
Well, it's a lot like a video game, to where... you actually have to read the manual to get that little story at the beginning to find out what the game's about.
Yeah, but what about in the middle?
Yeah, I don't know. What was your overall? What were your overall thoughts? What would you give this for a score, Dave?
As a score, do we want to score it already, or do we want to go through some pros? Well,
we can. We're at 34 minutes into the review already.
So I'm gonna. I'm back and forth on a score. I was really debating, but I think I'm gonna give it a 3. Okay. Which is maybe a little higher than I...
Because that's what I was thinking.
What's that?
I said copycat, even though I didn't do mine yet, but that's what I was thinking.
No, I was going to give it a 2 to 2.5 when I initially watched it, because while it was kind of fun and out there, the fact that it does drop you in the middle of this thing, it never really explains much about what's going on other than just this crazy roller coaster you're on. And even when it ends, like Adam says, when it ends, it just ends out of the blue. But it didn't even really feel like it ended. It felt like that boss battle was done. Now what's next?
Now you got to replay it again, but at a harder level.
Right, and unlock special.
You have to purchase the downloadable content pack.
Yeah.
Now you can play as Tails.
But no, it felt like, okay, he's on this helicopter. He throws his wife off by cutting off her hands, essentially, in the door of the helicopter. But that helicopter's got to land. Who's flying it?
And somebody was flying it, but I don't...
It just ends, and it feels like there's more, which makes sense that they'll do a sequel.
Maybe the sequel takes up exactly there.
If they were smart, it would. This poor cyborg guy, Henry, is just in help.
Now,
or...
one of the things that you were picking about, you know, picking on this movie about here was just dropping you into the action.
Yeah.
Without really a whole lot of anything at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of movies have done this. I mean, a movie that is, you know, frantically similar to this, and I'm saying, you know, the pacing and, you know, craziness like that, is the Jason Statham movies, Crank. And yeah, Crank 2 Electric those. Boogaloo. Did you get, you never seen those?
No.
That was for you, Adam.
Thank you.
But yeah, those movies are crazy like this too. You seen them, Adam?
I have not.
Okay.
Wait, no. I take it back. I think I saw their first one.
Yeah. So check it out, Dave. It's like that. And think of it like this. I mean, granted, John Wick has... a lot of story compared to this,
right?
But it is another one of those movies that is just, you know, lots of energy, lots of action, crazy fight scenes. But yeah, you do get a lot more story in that,
right? I mean, this one, the story for me there was non, you know, and I won't say non-existent, because you obviously have this one mission you're on, you know, and that's a weird thing. I caught myself not thinking of it like, oh, our main characters on this. I kept thinking of it as me, because of how it was shot, like, oh, I've got to get to the boss. I got to help Jimmy, you know. And you kind of, because of the way it's shot in that first person view, it really sucks you in. Where when you think about it, it's almost like you feel like it's you doing something, or at least the video game representation. But for me, I think the uniqueness and, you know, just really going all in on this video game aspect, first person shot on a GoPro. The uniqueness of that gives it a little bit of a boost in score, because otherwise I kind of felt like while the action was cool, it was just such a nonstop barrage with no answers whatsoever, just more questions, that it really pushed the score down for me. But the uniqueness and the creativity of the idea itself and the execution of it, quite frankly, minus the ultra shakiness, bumped it up to a 3 for me.
Before Adam gives us his score, can I just, I want to jump in here real fast, and I want to describe what this movie is, why it was created, and who it was created for. This is 100% a guy movie.
Oh yeah.
This is one of those movies that you get together with, you know, some of your great buddies, you grab some pizza, you have some pop, Adam, he'll have some liquor, and I'm making you out to be a drunk. You just enjoy the movie. I mean, that is what this movie is. Now, are you going to go back and watch this a second time, a third time? Two might happen, because I did it, and Dave, you did mention you might want to watch, or Adam did. I don't know you guys' voices yet. maybe go back. But this is not Star Wars. This is not Indiana Jones.
No.
This is not one of those movies that you're going to go back. Like Adam, like he says, once a year I watch The Goonies, and you mentioned some other movies like that. You will not be watching Hardcore Henry every year.
No.
It's just not that type of movie.
You won't even be watching Softcore Henry twice a year.
Well, I was going to say, you know, you guys were talking about this. Could you imagine Hardcore Henry as a porn? First person porn?
No, thanks.
Well, the thing is, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I doubt I'll ever watch this movie again, other than maybe just to see a certain scene or something like that, if I read a little more about something, or if a sequel comes out. But I think it would be a lot of fun if we, you know, the three of us found ourselves able to hook up in the same place at the same time again. This is the kind of movie that'd be great to watch with friends, like you said, so you can all be kind of laughing and talking to each other like, what the heck was that? Did you see that? You know, that kind of conversation happening. But it's not, I don't know, it's weird, because I say that.
It's a good group watch.
It is a good group watch, I think. But at the same time, I literally could not take my eyes away from the screen the whole time I watched this. I was glued to it, barely even shifted on the couch while I was watching. I mean, just staring at it.
And Adam, I mean, he watched this over, I think, 87 different viewings of like a minute and a half each.
You know.
So, Adam, what do you give this then? What's your rating?
-6. All right. So, what is that, the score?
Okay. I gave this a 2. So, I have a lot of the same reasonings Dave did as far as the uniqueness of it. Like I said, it's really picked up for me in the second half. But this is a movie that is so much action. It's basically a huge, long parkour, stabbing, shooting, explosion, decapitation, martial arts movie. But all that does not substitute a good story.
Right.
You know, there's no characters to relate to. It was tough to kind of follow, which is what made it, that's what made me give it a 2. Not that it wasn't enjoyable and the action wasn't phenomenal and it was cool with the GoPros, but also a little bit motion sickness inducing. So I'm giving it a 2. Wasn't the worst. I've seen a lot worse, and this had a lot of good moments of enjoyment. But as far as
can
movies
I interject
go,
yeah. one thing though?
Okay, here we go with more interjections.
Well, we have commented so many times of how this is a video game.
Yeah.
You know, this is just like a video game. And prior to, you know, modern video games have a lot of story, but I mean, we used to play games all the time that had absolutely no story. They were just fun.
Yep. That's a fair point.
Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah. And this movie was fun. You cannot say this movie wasn't fun.
Right.
It lacked in story, but it was fun. Did that make Street Fighter 2 any less fun because we did not know the love triangle between Ryu?
That's a different platform. You're talking a game where I'm controlling a character. And I'm trying to accomplish a goal and beat the other guys up.
Talking a game where Adam is playing as E Honda, giving Ryu that 100-hand slap at the happy ending.
No, 100-hand happy accurate. Ending. Woo!
That wasn't the finisher.
Is that what they meant by Street Fighter 2 plus Alpha?
Oh, Dave, that would have been you hit it there. If you could have just go back a little bit, and go. Isn't that what they meant by finish him?
Oh, that's Mortal Kombat.
I know,
but video games to me are different. I mean, the better video games, you think like Half-Life 2, phenomenal story, backstory, the whole nine yards. They give you more information in that one, but you know, a button mashing game, you know, it's different. Right. I play games different for you play a game for different reasons than you watch a movie.
Well, let me ask you, how long was this movie exactly? Oh, hour 42 minutes, right? So based on something the notes like you've got up there. To me, I think I would have probably maybe rated it even a little higher if this thing came in at like 40 minutes, maybe 45. Because I felt like there was just so much. I mean, even as a video game, you have these ups and downs where things kind of let up a little bit.
I hate the waterboards.
Yeah, was no break. There was no...
It's 96 minutes, just FYI.
It got exhausted.
That's because I couldn't find it and I didn't change it from Tusk.
Oh, 96
what
minutes.
What an idiot you are, Dave.
Well, I didn't know.
Gullible Steve.
Classic Steve.
Yeah, but I agree. I mean, Adam, you're exactly right. Where you're the one playing the game, you have the input. It's a little different than just watching it, but I don't know. You know, I kind of think it's right in the middle. People should check it out. Mm-hmm. But Jason... Unless Adam, if you had any other thoughts, but
no, you know what? I guess another factor that played into it, how motion sick you get.
Right.
You know,
I've never got motion sick from a game ever. And this didn't, you guys kept talking about the jerky camera and I really didn't even notice the jerky camera.
Are
which
you
is,
kidding?
No, I didn't. I don't know if it's because I watch
this
a lot of YouTube.
This camera was sponsored by Jack Lynx. It was so jerky.
It was. I mean, it was jumping everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was just more focused on
I'll tell you what, Jason.
The action than the actual, you know, camera jumping.
Jason,
around.
Here's what I want you to do. Watch 5 minutes of that movie and pay attention to the camera movements. Like during these, you know, right, most of the movie, the action scenes. I'm not talking about when he's waking up and looking at his arm. The actual action scenes in this movie. Watch how that camera's moving and then try and imitate on your own by moving your eyes around and your head around and moving like that. Just your head. You don't have to get up and run around. Uh-huh. Just jerk your head around and move it like that. Guaranteed you get the worst headache of your life and you feel like you've been headbanging at a, you know, massive heavy metal festival for a week straight.
Well, I did figure out why my actual video didn't move around like yours, but I know why, because I watched it on my iPhone with image stabilization.
You ever fix your... So Jason, what's your score on this?
I give it a 3 out of 5. I mean, when I think of 3, I think of an average movie. You know, it's not horrible and it's not great. It's just an average movie. So this to me definitely was an average movie. It lacked a story, like you guys said, but I think that action made up for it to where this has to be a definite, you know, middle ground movie for me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now we've got 2 threes and a 2. What are we?
Well, we're at technically that leaves us at a 2.66.
That means feed it to the dogs, or whatever you usually say.
Yeah, feed it to the dogs. However, We will say that that's our rating and we're standing by it.
However, don't actually feed it to the dogs.
Yeah. Dogs might get sick if they eat this. Yeah. No, I mean, if you're into action and stuff, definitely mm-hmm. check it out if you haven't already. If you haven't already watched it, we don't know why the heck you're listening to us right now.
Yep. It's not the same as Regarding Henry.
Yeah, no, it's totally different movie.
Totally different. But overall, it just misses at just under 3 stars on our rating. So
yep.
First time we've had a movie not be a recommendation. So crazy. Listeners, just goes to show that we are biased and fair, even though I rated Tusk extremely highly.
Unbiased.
That's true.
Yes. Yeah.
No, we're totally biased.
Totally biased. We love everything.
Anything you look at is great. Hey, speaking of things to look at,
yeah.
So it is my turn for a pick for next yes. time.
Ooh, I'm excited. Oh, it better be good.
So this one is...
Regarding rough. Henry.
Yeah. It's a touching story about touching. The movie I'm choosing for our next super review is The Prestige.
Ah.
I haven't seen it. Sweet.
It's been a while. Seen one. Okay.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So Prestige, it's starring Christian Bale.
Yeah.
And... Hugh Jackman, and it is very interesting. And mm-hmm. and I'll leave it at that until we come together next time and have a watch.
Also, if I'm not mistaken, that is a Christopher Nolan film.
You're correct.
And so you are see correct. Another excellent piece of cinema. Well, whether you think it's excellent or not, we'll find out next week.
We might feed it to the dogs. We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Who's the star of the movie?
That's Hugh Jackman and Christian Bale. They're both. And okay. David Bowie's in there, too.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Christopher Nolan and Christian Bale, didn't they do something else together?
little trilogy yep. you might have heard of.
Ah. Yeah, this is Magician Batman.
Yeah.
This came out in 2006. And hey, listeners, go watch this movie so you're ready to listen to our next super review.
Yeah, and if you've seen it and it's been a while, give it a rewatch. I look forward to a rewatch on this one.
Sounds good.
Excellent pick, Adam.
Well, thanks, listeners, for sticking with us for this review. I wanted to thank you guys for also watching the movie and having a great discussion on this. This was fun. Mm-hmm. As always, you can find all of our information at digitalsuitpodcast.com. That is our official website. And we're also a member of the Gunna Geek Podcast Network. You can check out all of our cousin, brother, sister shows over at gunnageek.com. And as always, we would love to have some more interaction with you guys. So hit us up on Twitter or on Facebook. And you can, of course, subscribe anywhere where you can listen to podcasts. So from all of us at the Digital Suit Podcast, to all of you listeners out there, thanks for sticking with us for the super review. Have an awesome week. We'll catch you next time.
Take care, guys.
Later, Jimmies. Later, Jimmies.
Think they all wear plural. Hats?
Possibly.
I'm sorry, I couldn't help.
With the reservoir tip.
Oh, goodness.